In the movie Pearl Harbor, actor Ben Affleck plays an American fighter pilot named Rafe McCauley. Many of you will remember this movie. World War II has started, but America hasn't yet entered into the war. And this American fighter pilot, Rafe McCauley, he's itching to fight the Nazis. He wants a mission. And so he crosses the ocean and volunteers to fly for the British Royal Air Force as they take on the Germans. And this is a dangerous assignment. When Rafe McCauley arrives at this English airfield, he's volunteering to fly for the British Air Force, and he's with the British commander, who's taking him and showing him the airplane that he's going to fly in. These planes are lined up. They've been all shot to pieces from the previous day's battle, and a messenger runs up to the commander and saying to him that two more British pilots have just been shot down by the Germans. And the commander turns to Rafe McCauley and asks him this question. I'm curious, are all Yanks as anxious as you are to get themselves killed? And Rafe McCauley does not hesitate. He says, I'm not anxious to die, sir. Just anxious to matter. Think about that. I'm not anxious to die, but I am anxious to matter. And that is one of the deepest desires of every human heart. We want our lives to matter. We all want our lives to have purpose. We want to know that our existence here in this short window of time that we have been given here on this earth, that we've made a difference. And like Rafe McCauley, we all want a mission. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus came with a mission. And he never lost sight of that mission. That mission, every moment of his life, he was in focus of what that mission was. And understand, too, that mission was established before time began. He came here to fulfill that mission and never lost sight of it. Now, I remember walking the aisle as a young teenager at a Christ in Youth conference and committing my life to full-time Christian ministry. This would have been probably when I was about 13 years old. It would have been in the mid-70s. But there came a time a few years later that I lost track of that mission. And for a while, I had a question in my mind as to whether I really wanted to be a preacher or not. And it was the fall of 1978 that I regained my focus. God confirmed to me that being in ministry wasn't about me being qualified, but more about Him being willing to use me if I would give my life fully to Him. Now, that's quite a contrast of one who's lost sight of their mission and Jesus, who came here and he never lost sight of his mission at all. It was always in focus. And so over these next two Sundays, today and next Sunday, I want to look at the mission of Jesus. And we'll answer this question, why did Jesus come here to this earth? Why did he leave the splendor of heaven to come here and take on flesh? And the Bible's very clear in answering that question. And today we're just going to look at two of those reasons. Next week we're going to look at four of those reasons as to why Jesus came here. And the first reason is simply this: he came here to save us from our sins. And we've seen that here with the kids and their nativity, and Haley, as she's quoted scripture to us. Jesus came here to save us from our sins. This was the message of the angel to Joseph. You recall, Joseph was having doubts about Mary. She was pregnant, and he knew the child was not his. And he's thinking about putting her away secretly, the scripture says. But an angel came to him in a dream and confirmed to him that this baby was from God. The angel said this too: and she will bear a son, and she will call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. I want to show you another passage that has that same message, this time from the pen of the Apostle Paul. He's writing to Timothy. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. He says, "It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." It's pretty clear from Scripture that Jesus came to save us from our sins. You know what? We needed saved from our sins. All of us, because we're each one sinners. We have fallen short of God's perfect will. And I would imagine maybe there's somebody here in the audience that might say, "Well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'll sin here and there, but all in all, I'm a pretty good person," as though they might get to heaven on that account. It's not going to happen. Please understand, from God's point of view, none of us are good enough to get to heaven on our own. One sin is enough to condemn us to hell. One lie, one bad thought, one point of grumbling, one time of being impatient or being selfish, it just takes one sin to separate us from God. The truth is, we need a Savior, and Jesus came to be that Savior. This is the greatest rescue story known to mankind, that Jesus came here to save us from our sins. Now, we like rescue stories, don't we? I was thinking about that as I prepared this message. I read a book this last year about World War II, and in that book was the story of Desmond Doss, who rescued more than 75 men atop that hill that they call Hacksaw Ridge. And many of you have seen that movie, just as I have, that was made from that very story. It's a story of bravery. It's a story of selflessness. Desmond Doss, you remember, he was a medic who was unwilling to carry a gun because of his religious beliefs. And he took a lot of flack over that. And yet he proved his valor when, amidst flying bullets and artillery shells dropping all around him, he set out on top of that ridge to rescue soldiers who had been wounded in battle. And he dragged them to the edge of that cliff, and he lowered them down on a rope to the soldiers below. And Doss received the Medal of Honor for his heroic deeds. We love rescue stories, don't we? Whether it would be the Coast Guard rescuing those who are floating in the water, or maybe miners who have been buried deep in the belly of the earth, and there are people on top, they're racing, they're digging, they're trying their best to beat the clock of when these fellas down below are going to lose all of their oxygen, and they're digging, trying to rescue them. Or the story of Shackleton. You remember that story back in the early 1900s, rescuing those of his crew who had been stranded on the ice of the Antarctic. Rescue stories are exciting. They are captivating. I was thinking of a rescue story that's really close to home for Cindy and I. Of this last week, and this story happened a number of years ago, but it involves our neighbor, Johnny. Johnny Keating, he was a fireman at the time, and he's driving west from the sale barn there in Fort Scott, around that curve, if you're familiar with that road. And during the flood season, if there's a lot of water there, that embankment goes down, and it's probably 8 to 10 feet deep of water. And Johnny's driving around the curve, heading towards home, and he sees this woman standing in the middle of the road, and she is just absolutely frantic. He stops and finds out she's driven off her car into that embankment of water 8 to 10 feet deep, and she's got out of the car, but she's got a little kid in the car down below, seat belted in. And Johnny just reacts. He dives into the water. You know how muddy flood water is, and he dives into the water, and he finds that car, and somehow he's able to get the door open, and he gets that little girl out of the car and brings her to the top and gets her onto the road and does CPR and saves her life. We love rescue stories, don't we? But there is no rescue story that compares to the story of Jesus coming here to this earth to rescue us from sin. We're destined for hell. That's the truth. All of us have been destined for hell, but Jesus has intervened. He lived a perfect life here on this earth, and then he offered up himself as a perfect sacrifice on the cross, taking our sins upon himself so that we could have the chance of heaven and forgiveness of sin. Your sins, my sins, can be transferred to his account, and we can take on his righteousness if we put our faith in him. That's why this little baby born in a manger came here. That's why the angels sang to the shepherds on that Bethlehem hillside, "A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." I wonder, have you accepted Jesus as Savior? Have you responded to him in faith and repentance and baptism? He's invited all of us to be saved. Well, you know what he's done? He's thrown the lifeline to us. And we needed the lifeline. We're going down without the lifeline. And Jesus has thrown the lifeline to us, but we have to reach out and accept the lifeline. And so we're answering this question: why did Jesus come to this earth? Why did he leave heaven where everything was glorious and he's on the throne there, and all of heaven is in worship to him, and he's one right there with God the Father, and he strips himself of all of that to come here and take on flesh? He did that to save us from our sins. And secondly, he came here to destroy the works of the devil. That was his mission. Ever since Satan did his dirty work in the Garden of Eden, Jesus' mission was to come into enemy territory and take back what was his. That's you and me, you know. Because Satan had done his work, and he had drawn us away from God, speaking of mankind, all in general. It all started with Adam and Eve, and yet you and I follow in their footsteps. Jesus came here into enemy territory to take back what was his. And truth be known, the mission of Jesus was in place long before even that. You remember, Satan was one of God's angels in heaven. In fact, he was the most beautiful angel, the scripture says, and very powerful. And I think what happened is the devil looked into the mirror one too many times, and he decided that he was so beautiful and he was so powerful, and he wanted that worship for himself, and he deceived himself into thinking that he could overthrow the reign of God in heaven. He even recruited 1/3 of all of the angels in heaven to join up with him, and that battle that he thought he could win lasted about that long. No one can stand to the Almighty God. No one is greater than his power. And Satan and all of those angels who had joined him were thrown out of heaven. And so, yes, Jesus had some retribution to pay to the old dragon. You know, the devil was there at the birth of Jesus. You do know that. Book of Revelation tells us about that. Chapter 12, the red dragon was there on that silent night when Jesus was born. And our nativities really don't show that, do they? But he was there. We know that from Scripture. And he's arranging for Herod to get riled up and to send his soldiers into Bethlehem and kill all of those baby boys that had been born during that time. But God's doing his own rescue story. God's having a rescue story that's in motion already. And he instructs Joseph through an angel to flee Bethlehem with the baby and with Mary and to go into Egypt. And thankfully, Joseph practiced instantaneous obedience. I mean, if he had not practiced instantaneous obedience, the babe's life would have been in danger. Would have been in jeopardy. Just a reminder to us that God, when he tells us to do something, he wants obedience from us. And Joseph gave him that obedience, and the Christ child was saved. The dragon's plan was thwarted. And Jesus grew up. He never lost sight of his mission to destroy the works of the devil. And that's exactly what he did as he died on the cross and raised up from the dead on the third day. Let me read a couple of scriptures to you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, "The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared," here it is, "he appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." And then Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, from the New Living Translation, it says it this way, "Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death." The scriptures are very clear. Jesus came here to destroy the works of the devil, and he got the job done by his death and resurrection. Please understand this. Our enemy is a defeated foe. And one day the sentencing will be carried out. Right now, our foe is like a lion. He's roaring. He's seeking whom he may devour. He is prowling the earth, looking for opportunity to do his dirty work. He is wreaking havoc on this earth and in people's lives. But the day is coming when the gavel will come down and the old dragon will be cast out, and what glory that will be. Amen. Can you imagine living in a place where the devil is no more and there's no longer the curse for sin? That's what heaven is going to be. And forever we will be with the one who is victorious. I hope you're on that winning team. And the captain of that team is Jesus. The good news is he's chosen you. He says, I want you. I want you. I want you on my team. And all we have to do is say, I want to be on that team. And we give our lives to him, and then we live for him. So why did Jesus come to this earth? Two reasons today: to save us from our sins and to destroy the works of the devil. Let's pray together. I thank you, Jesus, that you never lost sight of your mission. You fulfilled that mission that was from eternity, before the world was created. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory that we have in you. And so as we draw nearer to this Christmas season, may we be mindful of what it's all about. To be saved from our sins, and that the enemy would be destroyed. In Jesus' name, amen.